Hello, this is Sharon with the Pantograph, dated Wednesday, June 13th, 2018. We will begin today's reading on the front page with an article entitled "Safety Campaign's Goal to Humanize Cyclists: Bike Blono Looks to Change View of Riders as Impediments." To a motorist in a hurry, a bicycle in their lane might be seen as nothing more than an impediment and a bother. A safety awareness campaign organized by the Bike Blono advocacy group is trying to change that perspective. "Our goal here is to humanize the cyclists on the road," said Mike McCurdy, Bike Blono vice president, who regularly commutes to his job as WGLT program director. Bike Blono president Stephanie Michaelis said the campaign is designed to put a personal touch on it. "That's why you'll see electronic billboards around town with split images of the faces of cyclists, one half showing them in a helmet and cycling clothes, the other half in their work attire. One of them shows Jerrica Etheridge of Bloomington, who works in information security at State Farm. I'm just an average human who sometimes rides her bike," said Etheridge. "I ride to run errands, get exercise, and enjoy time with friends." While riding her bike, Etheridge said, "I've had lots of little things happen, from people yelling at me, to passing too close, to crowding me at intersections, to opening their car doors or slamming on their brakes in front of me." Others featured in the campaign include a high school counselor and a dentist. "Cyclists are people who are going to be making your coffee, counseling your kid, or filling your teeth," said McCurdy. About 100 yard signs saying, "I'm a motorist and a cyclist," have been distributed, and informational ads are on Connect Transit buses too. McCurdy says he hopes exposing motorists to the message several times throughout the day will help them start to think of cyclists as people, not impediments. Comments on social media convinced McCurdy that the project is important. "There is a lot of vitriol out there about cyclists," he said. Etheridge said, "You'd like to think most people aren't going to try to purposely hurt another human, but many, many people drive while distracted or are simply unaware of how scary some of their actions might be. State law requires motorists to leave at least 3 feet of space when passing a bike." 3 feet doesn't feel like a lot when you're a cyclist," said Michaelis. "A car is a steel cage around you. A cyclist only has their skin and bones. Everyone should obey traffic laws," those involved agree. But McCurdy notes, no matter who is at fault, if there's a crash, the cyclist is going to lose every time. Michaelis said, "They, cyclists, are legal users of the road. They have a right to be there." Although some critics say ride on the sidewalk, Michaelis and McCurdy said riding on the sidewalk is less safe, not only because of risks to pedestrians, but risks to the cyclists themselves. "Cyclists are more visible on the road," said McCurdy. "Motorists backing out of or pulling into driveways or moving through intersections might not be expecting a cyclist on a sidewalk or crosswalk." McCurdy said, "We've been raising funds for 5 years for this particular project through events such as Tour de Taco. The plan is to keep it going through the summer, then do another educational push in the fall with the return of college students, many of whom use bicycles to get around but are less experienced at riding in traffic," said McCurdy. Etheridge said, "I'm hoping that people who see cyclists as something simply in their way will start to realize they are actually their neighbors and co-workers and integrate that understanding into how they drive. Remember, safety first. Here are some safety tips from Bike Blono. For motorists, be considerate. Give cyclists at least 3 feet of space when you pass them. It's state law. Better yet, wait until traffic is clear so you can give them the full lane when you pass. Be patient. Spending some time behind a cyclist is not going to significantly delay your travel. For cyclists, be predictable. Don't weave in and out of traffic. Signal when turning. Be visible. Wear bright clothing or a vest with reflective patches. Have lights and reflectors on your bike, especially at night. And for both, be law-abiding. Follow the rules of the road. Youth at center of BN violence. Officials call for more services, legislation. It's been almost a decade since McLean County saw 5 murders in a single year. But the deaths of Tanisha A. Brown, 20, and Stephen C. Alexander, Jr., 18, in a Sunday morning shooting marked the 4th and 5th homicides in the Twin Cities this year. The 8 cases reported in 2008, which included 6 in Bloomington, was the high mark for homicides. Of the homicides seen in just the first half of 2018, 3 are in Bloomington and 2 in Normal. On Tuesday, there were no new details released in the deaths of Brown and Alexander. The 2 were at what police described as a large gathering in the 1200 block of Orchard Road shortly after 1 a.m. Sunday when they were shot and killed. 2 other people also were shot, but their names and conditions have not been released. No arrests have been made. Citizens can help by speaking out about what happened to show these types of acts will not be tolerated, Bloomington Police Chief Clay Wheeler said on Tuesday. Both Normal and Bloomington have seen senseless loss of life. The community needs to stand together and say, this is unacceptable. Help by providing alternatives for our youth. A disturbing pattern of young victims and alleged assailants is evident in the most recent deadly attacks, including the April shooting at Lancaster Heights in Normal that left 2 Bloomington men dead. Joseph Gardner, 20, and Reginald Hart, Jr., 19. Christopher Harrison, 18, of Bloomington, faces 6 counts of first-degree murder, among other charges in that case. Harrison was 17 at the time of the shooting. It's tragic. We have a problem, and we have to do something about it. The first step is identifying what the true problem is. If the variables are consistent in every case, and what resources can be put out for our families so we don't have reoccurrence, said Brian Kendall, principal at the Regional Alternative School in Bloomington. Kendall said Alexander and several individuals involved in the recent deadly shootings were past students at RAS that serves students with a variety of academic, social, economic, or behavioral issues at locations in Bloomington, Clinton, and Pontiac. This is a great community, but we have to assess what we're doing to create more services for kids. There are a lot of youth in crisis. It takes one significant adult relationship to change a life, said Kendall. Beyond increased services and communication with youth, officials with local social justice groups think the end of violence will come through action from lawmakers. McLean County Moms Demand Action is part of a national organization seeking solutions to end gun violence. We're trying to work legislatively to close deadly loopholes in background checks. Another goal of ours is promoting gun safety and we're working to support reasonable limits to where, when, and how loaded guns can be used in public, said Karen Irvin, co-leader of the group. Creating mechanisms for open communication, such as town hall discussions and meetings between community groups, also will lead to less violence, said Kendall. I believe in people. I believe in kids. They know what the problems are. We have to be invitational in assessing their voices. They know the truth and realities, and as adults, our job is not to let them down, said Kendall. Moms Demand Action has joined the Central Illinois group Voices of Reason to advocate for legislation to require gun dealers to certify their federal license with the state police, boost gun trafficking research, and penalize private dealers who fail to properly maintain records of sales. These recent young people who have died really hit home. It's senseless and sad, said Jody Slotower, leader of Voices of Reason. We need a lot more people standing up and saying guns are not the answer. Easy access to guns is not the best idea. City to temporarily remove traffic lights. The Bloomington Public Works Department will temporarily install barricades and disable traffic signals along Front Street from Madison to East Streets to evaluate a more pedestrian-friendly configuration. The temporary change, which will run Wednesday through Friday, is part of the city's look at removing traffic signals on Front at Main and Center Streets, and is expected to make it easier for pedestrians to cross the street. Connect Transit's downtown Bloomington bus transfer station, its second busiest daily boarding stop in Bloomington Normal, is in that area of Front Street. Last month, public works crews working on sewers and sidewalks to prepare for resurfacing Front Street found damage to traffic signal infrastructure. Public Works Director Jim Karsh estimated the cost to repair the equipment would be $15,000 to $20,000. The department is proposing removing the signals and adding stop signs and crosswalk bump outs, which would increase pedestrian safety by reducing the distance to walk across the lanes of traffic. During the 3-day test, the traffic signal at Main and Front will be turned off and bagged, which will not require motorists to stop there. The traffic signal at Center and Front Streets will be set to flashing mode, and temporary stop signs will be placed there. Small barricades will be used to narrow the lanes of traffic, simulate what would be bump outs. Snow fencing also will be used to simulate where planter boxes would be placed to prevent pedestrians from crossing the street at those spots. Karsh said the current traffic signals are not warranted because traffic volumes have been steadily decreasing in that area since the 1980s. The signals, originally installed in the 1940s and 1950s, also have far exceeded their life expectancy, he said. Members of the public and downtown stakeholders are encouraged to provide feedback by emailing traffic@cityblm.org. Today's Flick Fact. Question. A 14-year-old, until recently from Normal, won the 2018 National Spelling Bee by correctly spelling Cononia. That was, as the rest of us struggle with words far more common. Do you know the word that Illinoisans have most often searched how to spell in Google in the past year? Was it 1, beautiful, 2, cousin, 3, yacht, 4, canceled, or 5, hors d'oeuvre? And the answer? According to Google analysts, who evaluated Google searches that began with how to spell from May 1, 2017 to May 1, 2018, Illinoisans most asked for the spelling of one, beautiful. Alabama residents most struggled with cousin, while North Dakota most asked for yacht. Maryland asked for canceled, and Florida for hors d'oeuvre. Daily Digest, Beautification Panel Seeks Nominees. The City of Bloomington Citizens Beautification Committee is seeking nominations for the city's annual Beautification Awards. Nominations will be accepted for residential and non-residential properties within the Bloomington city limits through June 22nd. In an average year, the committee gives 10 to 12 awards from all geographical areas of the city. Winners will be announced and awards presented at a late summer Bloomington City Council meeting. The nomination form is available at www.cityblm.org. Road closure. West Market and Howard Streets. Westbound traffic on West Market Street and northbound traffic on Howard Street will be closed to through traffic beginning at 8 a.m. Wednesday, June 13th. For an emergency water main repair at Market and Howard Streets. The lane closure will continue until the work is completed. Today in history. Today is Wednesday, June 13th, the 164th day of 2018. There are 201 days left in the year. Today's highlights. On June 13, 1978, the movie musical Grease, starring John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John, had its world premiere in New York. On this date, in 1525, German theologian Martin Luther married former nun Katharina von Bora. And here's a thought for today. What intellectual snobs we have become. Virtue is now in the number of degrees you have, not in the kind of person you are or what you can accomplish in real life situations. And this was said by Ida J. LeShon, an American educator from 1922 to 2002. Converted ambulance aids EMS training. Area Emergency Medical Service students have a new resource for training that is as close to the real thing as they can get, a converted ambulance. A former DeWitt County Emergency Medical Services ambulance has been modified into a full-featured mobile simulation unit the McLean County Area EMS System has added to its educational offerings. The mobile simulation unit enables students to learn and practice with a sense of realism, said EMS System Manager Travis Wilson. Students learn how to work in tight quarters and gain a comfort level of performing emergency medical skills in the back of an ambulance. An expensive engine failure in the ambulance a few months ago led to the rig being replaced. Instead of being scrapped, it was donated to the EMS system. The original engine and cab were removed, and the chassis was converted into a trailer with a hitch by Dan's Welding in Clinton. Once it was roadworthy, the simulator was moved to Siren World, an emergency vehicle equipment company in El Paso, where it underwent an electrical system overhaul to allow the equipment to run on AC power from a generator. The companies provided their services at no charge to the EMS system. The mobile simulation unit will be primarily used for emergency medical technician and paramedic classes at Heartland Community College. The unit will be on display during an open house from 9 to 11 a.m. Friday at Heartland's parking lot N, the first parking lot on the left off of Millennium Boulevard. It is exactly like a real ambulance. It just does not drive down the road, said Wilson. There is a cot, backboards, splints, bandaging supplies, IV supplies, oxygen and airway supplies, simulated medications, and a state-of-the-art patient simulator. The unit allows students to train on a wide variety of scenarios, such as loading and unloading patients and caring for patients headed to the hospital, all in the confines of an actual ambulance setting. The simulator really enhances the hands-on part of EMT training, said EMS System Education Coordinator Jonathan DeSau. Only so much can be taught in a classroom. In the simulator, students will learn how to provide emergency medical care in as realistic of an environment as possible. The McLean County Area EMS System, a joint venture of Advocate Broman Medical Center in Normal and OSF Healthcare St. Joseph Medical Center in Bloomington, provides resources to emergency medical services throughout the area. New type of license eyed. Green Top seeks okay for customers to buy, drink alcohol at store. The City of Bloomington will consider creating a new liquor license classification that will allow the retail sale of packaged beer and wine for consumption on or off the premises. Green Top Grocery Interim General Manager Tim Sullivan asked the city's Liquor Commissioner Tuesday to create the new classification to allow customers to purchase alcohol at the store, open and consume it at the store during special promotions or events, and then take the remainder home. If we were doing a cooking class, the customer could buy a bottle of wine, take it in the class and use it during the class, and then enjoy it in one of our designated seating areas, he said. We won't be serving tap beer or opening bottles of wine or serving it ourselves. Commissioner Jack Battle, who owns a share in the store, did not participate in the discussion or voting by the three-member panel, which also includes Mayor Terry Renner and Lindsay Powell. The store, which opened in May 2017, owns a packaged liquor license to sell packaged beer and wine, but current laws do not permit the products to be opened on site. In order to approve the request, the city would have to approve an ordinance to establish the new classification. Urbana already has a similar one in effect, said City Deputy Corporation Counsel Greg Mordock. We would come up with a classification which would match our codes, but there may be more of these requests down the road with similar situations, he said. We would need more guidance on exactly how this should be presented. I believe we would have several businesses that would have an interest in this, Powell added. Sullivan said customers would be able to buy and drink the beverage with food purchased at the store, but only in one of the three designated seating areas. They wouldn't be able to purchase and go drink in the parking lot, he said. They could buy a sandwich and drink a beer with their meal. The change would still be at least a couple of months away, Renner said. The city staff will be asked to form the language for the ordinance, which then would have to be approved by the city council. If the ordinance were adopted, Green Top then would be able to apply for this new type of license. How time flies. 100 years ago, on June 13, 1918, Corporal Owen M. Morris of Mackinac has been recommended for a medal for his part in saving two drowning officers. They were swept out to sea by the undertow in the Dominican Republic. Morris rescued them after several tries, battling the undertow himself. 75 years ago, on June 13, 1943, Chief Waters reports that the Bloomington fire loss totals for May will probably total $30 or less. That's almost a dollar for every day in the month. If the figure holds up, it will be the lowest reported total damage figure in years. 50 years ago, on June 13, 1968, it took 2 hours to control a fire at the high-grade meat products plant on Southeast Street. It broke out as police investigated vandalism of 13 squad car tires behind the police station a block away. Cops haven't found a connection, and the fire shows no sign of foul play. 25 years ago, on June 13, 1993, the Reverends Francis Wendling and Stephen Schneider, both at St. Mary's Church, will leave to tend other flocks. Wendling is off to Galveston, Schneider to Louisville, Kentucky. Schneider has also been chaplain to Bloomington's police and fire departments. Area calendar, Wednesday, Cop on Rooftop, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Wednesday at Dunkin' Donuts, 2306 East Oakland Avenue, Bloomington, with Bloomington police officers. The benefits is the Special Olympics Illinois. Thursday, Chapter JVPEO, 1230 p.m. Thursday, at the home of Susan O'Rourke. The program, Hail to the Chief, by Ruth Ann Fraker, JV President, State Convention Report. Adventure of a Plastic Bottle from the Ecology Action Center will be at 1 p.m. Thursday, the Bloomington Public Library Community Room. This is a family program. Books to benefit preview sale, 5 to 8 p.m. Thursday at Crossroads Mall. It will benefit STAR, Adult Literacy, and Youth Build McLean County's literacy programs, and it costs $5. Sir Winston S. Churchill, the greatest statesman of the 20th century, 7 p.m. Thursday, Bloomington Public Library Community Room. This is part of the World War I series. The speaker will be Daniel Myers, International Churchill Society, Washington, D.C. PEO Chapter LO, 7 p.m. Thursday, at the home of Ann Beck. The program is Illinois Convention Report. You can reach Ann at ANBIRCH at whateverittakes.com. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph, dated Wednesday, June 13th, 2018. Please stay tuned.